We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Brewers fans. We know it's a long, cold winter. But let's warm you up with the latest on the crew. It's time for Hot Stove Weekly. On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back at the wall, this ball is gone.
The 2019 championship season cannot get here quick enough. What an amazing run in 2018. But time to turn the page and look toward the future. Get the latest free agent signings, trades, the front office, the fans, and more. Heading into our 14th year of Brewers coverage, it's Hot Stove Weekly on The Fan. Here's your host, the franchise, Tim Allen.
Welcome in, Brewers fans. This is Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, your host for the next hour, as we bring you the best of Brewers on Deck, the best sound that was heard a week ago at the Brewers annual Fan Fest held at the Wisconsin Center downtown. You're going to hear over the next hour audio from Ryan Braun, Lorenzo Cain, Travis Shaw, Jeremy Jeffress, Christian Yelich, and Mark Antanasio, those final two, the night before we're celebrating Christian's MVP award for 2018 in New York at the BBWAA Awards ceremony. First, we'll start out with the Brewers chairman and owner, Mark Antanasio, on the best of Brewers on Deck.
So the big story in town, of course, has been the naming rights and you know, some fans didn't like it, maybe a lot of fans. What's your take on that whole situation, how it unfolded, and what the fans are saying?
Well, I have a number of takes on it. Miller has been a wonderful sponsor for us, and they're going to continue to be. And, you know, on an emotional level, you could see why the fans would resonate, or would resonate with the fans to have, you know, Miller Park, have the Brewers play in Miller Park. And it's been a terrific 20-year run. And, you know, things evolve in life, and we humans don't always, you know, like change. But when you do change, try to, you know, sometimes it doesn't mean it is better. It's just different. And we think our fans, it will resonate with our fans every much as having Miller Park resonate is tied with Brewers, having American family tied to an organization that has really tried to operate as a family and reach out to families across the state. So, you know, in that regard, I want to correct, you know, we reached out to American family. It wasn't them reaching out to us. We proactively manage our business in every way you would expect us to, same way we want David Stearns. And I see David on the phone there, reaching out on acquiring players. We're always looking to optimize our business in terms of expanding our platform of sponsor relationships. Miller was a sponsor, and also naming rights. American Family's been a sponsor since 2001. American Family's been a company in Wisconsin, I think, since 1927. My dad was born in 1925, so that's a long time. And so to me, it's a complete win-win to, you know, at some point things change, to be able to add American Family as a naming sponsor. I think our fans are, they're passionate about our team. I told the Jack, CEO of American Family, they're passionate about our team, passionate about their beer, and I think they're going to be passionate about protecting their family with American Family through insurance. So, look, I love relationship with Miller. I'm very excited about expanding relationship with American Family, and I think, again, it's a win-win for us.
What's the bottom line, that American Family offered a better financial package?
American Family offered a compelling package for us that we felt we needed to respond to in order to continue to, you know, deliver, you know, as good a team on the field as we can to the community.
It's unusual to have this long lag between the change. A lot of times these things are in the works, but they don't get sprung on the public to... Is this a good or bad thing? How does that...
I think, you know, timing, it's interesting. When I... if everybody remembers back when we brought Craig Council in, the timing didn't seem perfect. In fact, especially to Craig, because nobody wants to come in midstream and maybe, you know, be looked at as though they maybe cost somebody their job. And I said to Craig, you know, if I didn't seize the opportunity to buy the Milwaukee Brewers when it came up and just, you know, thought, gee, I'm only 44, 45 years old, I'm not ready for this, you know, I probably never would have owned a Major League Baseball team. So we had an opportunity with American Family right here, right now, and we decided to move forward with it rather than wait till the naming rights expired. Miller's been very terrific, obviously, as a sponsor and as a partner in this. They've been, you know, good about understanding that, you know, it made sense for us to make this deal now and not wait. Because American Family might not have been there in 2 years when naming rights went up. And, you know, and then, you know, we have a different economy then. I don't need to get to a macroeconomic conversation, but there isn't a Jamie Dimon and everybody else is calling for a recession next couple of years. I'm not sure that's going to be the case, but if it is, now is a good time to make this deal for the team.
Well, Mark, 08 was really good and 11 even better, but after the playoffs last year and now on and off the field, these promotions of David and Rick kind of show how you feel about what's going on. Are you at an all-time high now with your club for experience and ownership?
Yeah, you always get nervous about all-time highs because there's nowhere to go then. Look, things have gone really well. 96 wins last year is the most wins we've had in franchise history. I think we've got something upwards of how many sponsors, Tyler?
135?
135 sponsors. Things are going pretty well on the business side. The experience at Miller Park is, you know, with, I think the daunt of money, we even reinvested in the ballpark and the stadium district is the best it's ever been. And David and Rick in particular have demonstrated the ability to lead. So I thought it felt good to sort of promote them together at the same time.
But I mean, it's the fervor, you know, selling out this event in advance for the first time. And so I know you live in LA, but I know you keep the pulse here pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Well, I was back here in December to thank our staff. It's just a wonderful season. Everything at the end of the year, you know, only one team wins at the end of the year. And so when it ends very sharply. So I wanted to come back in December and had a staff meeting and thanked everybody. So sure, I keep track of the pulse and things are good. And it's our job to try to keep them good as long as we can. And then, you know, when it's time to pivot, we'll pivot.
Rick Schlesinger says season ticket sales are amazingly well, something like 98% renewal. Of course, he doesn't want to put a number on where you're going to be with attendance, but it certainly seems like you're headed toward 3 million.
Yeah, look, the attendance numbers, there are 8 teams in baseball, I think, that have had over 2.3 million fans every year in the period, you know, we have in our ownership. Once you go over 2.8 million fans, as we have now, no matter what your market, that's significant support from your fan base. You know, this fan base has always supported us. Frankly, I think, you know, as we went into our rebuild, the fact that we had over 2.2 million fans come out, maybe even more significant than the 2.8 plus we had last year. And it's one of the things, that key things I had identified in Wisconsin, the passion of the fans for the team and the organization. By the way, not to circle back on the naming rights, but, you know, I love that our fans have passion. I love that they care a lot about our ballpark. And, you know, I like that a lot more than if they said, they're changing the name, who cares? So, you know, we think our fans are the best, and we're excited that we're all going to enjoy this experience together. I'll mention that, you know, Christian Yelich talked to me a lot about how much fun it was to play in front of all these people. And I think it does affect performance a little bit for these guys when they pretty much have a full house every night. It brings the energy level up.
We were talking to Christian today how his life has changed from the first time he flew with you to the yesterday, the second time he flew with you, the year he's had, the year the team's had.
Quite a year.
Incredible.
You know, we dropped Christian in New York. He had to do a shoot in a subway station at 8 o'clock at night with Justin Turner of the Dodgers, one of the companies he sponsors. And then he went to downtown in New York and spoke at Goldman Sachs. And
so you flew in before yesterday?
We flew in on Thursday.
Oh.
Yeah, he had a number of things to do, and I had a few things. I had a few meetings at Major League Baseball Central headquarters yesterday.
So then you left in the middle of the night and flew here?
Yeah, well, we didn't want to miss a minute of the fan event. And you never know with weather. So, we landed like 2 in the morning.
Yeah, some good weather coming here this year.
We heard.
You getting out of here?
Maybe.
Hey, Mark, you love to remind me that I asked you that very first year you were on the team, was the first number in the payroll going to be a 4, I think, right?
Yeah.
Well, look, you're heading to new heights now with the Grandal signing. Well, how do you feel about that?
We're just doing everything we can to compete right here, right now. The Cubs won 95 games last year. You know, you got a very special organization there when things feel like, you know, not so good when you win 95 games. Things are pretty terrific when you win 95 games. And the Cardinals don't like being in, you know, out of the playoff picture. So they added. So we're not going to sit still. David continues to look at ways to improve the team. We never know when or where that'll come, but we're gonna try to get better every day from now to, you know, September 1st or whenever we can stop adding players.
You mentioned the sponsorships and the season ticket sales and the increase. Can that kind of be tied back to the ability to maybe invest a little bit more? I think David said stretch a little bit at the signing press conference.
Well, I try to look organically at our team over a 3-year period and not over a 1-year period. You know, it's very hard if you manage a budget year to year. So sure, we're stretching this year, but you know, you have to take advantage of opportunities when they come. And we thought, you know, adding Yasmani was a great opportunity.
You referred to punching above your weight, right? You guys get in there with the heavyweights and punch. Huh?
Look, we try to take advantage of opportunities and not, you know, back to 2005, I cautioned everybody, don't call this a small market. It's not a small market when you have 2.8 million fans coming in the door. It's not a small market when you have 135 loyal sponsors. And I think, you know, we, adopting that attitude, you know, we've done great things. And so we're going to stick with it.
Have you gotten any updates when you were in New York about the labor situation? I mean, you talk about looking 3 years ahead and looking down the road. As owners, where are you guys, what's your level of comfort with the way things are going?
Look, it's frankly, even before you get to labor, I'd still say the game isn't over for this free agent season, right? The game is 9 innings, right? So maybe we're in the 7th inning, and we'll see what happens with that. And, you know, the CBA is a couple years away, so we'll just see how things evolve. The sport is in good shape. You know, we're drawing a lot of people still. It's still the most popular spectator sport in the country, and I think minor league baseball is the second most popular spectator sport. I was at this MVP or this baseball writers' dinner last night. Wow, you watch the video of those players. The sport is, you know, extraordinary to watch, and it's our job to figure out how to deliver that to fans. And you know, we have had really good relations with our players now for decades, and I'm hoping we can continue that because it's best for all involved to keep playing.
You don't have that much time before your annual spring training speech. Have you started working on your
spring training speech? I was saying that I really just talked to the players a couple times a year, and that would be one. It's going to be a tough one because we know what we said the last 2 years.
Can you raise the bar again?
And we'll have to work on that. Fortunately, I get to go before Craig because Craig's always very inspirational. David and I speak first, so. You know, I'm sure he'll cap it off.
Will we be impressed by the new Maryvale?
I'm hearing great things. And I'm hearing great things about the spring training facility. One thing to remember whenever you move into a new place, you know, I'm hoping the showers turn on. Yeah, there's always going to be a few bumps in the road. But as a facility, it's absolutely world class, and we're very excited. Tyler Barnes, we're going to give Tyler Barnes a shout out for that. Like Tyler now, all of a sudden, that he did such a good job with that, trying to drag him into the Dominican Republic situation.
Oh, boy.
A complex there.
As long as I can spend the winter down there.
What was that? Al Pacino in one of those movies that was trying to get out of the mob. Yeah. Every time I try to get out, they keep dragging me back in. Tyler, welcome to the DR.
Then send them on to Venezuela. They need help.
I mentioned something last week. Coming up on 20 years now or so at Miller Park, and he said this is a facility that's built to last for the long term. As it's 20 years, is there kind of a wish list that's starting to develop in the back of your head of things that might have to be addressed down the road? And does American Families Partnership kind of help with that in the long term future?
Look, Miller Park, the lease goes through 2030. And the lease was originally signed to be coterminous with when the park would need to be, I guess, you'd need to move to a different park. We believe with the investments we've made that we've added significant years to that 2030 date, which I think is very important relative to keeping the team here, which is something we all want to do, something I'm dedicated to doing. And so locking arms with sponsors and the community for the long term is what we want to do. American Family, has indicated a desire to lock arms with us. And so we look down the road to see what we'll need to do to maintain Miller Park a decade after that. And the good news is we've kept it maintained to this point. So 2030 seems like something that easy to get past, but again, like with the other things we've talked about today, we have to take it a year at a time, and then we'll have, if we have some issues at the park, we're going to look to address them when they come up, not put them off.
Have you thought about making Bud pay lease payments on the Sea League experience? keep that in there past 2030. You got to do it, right?
Commissioner Sea League has been he's kept a suite at the ballpark, which Commissioner, we appreciate. I'll look in the camera and say that. In fact, I talked to Bud before, Uke and I called him before we, he's coming back to teach. Now talk about a born and bred Wisconsinite, right? Major snowstorm is coming. I'm getting calls from people here, hey, do you have room to help fly out? He's flying back in.
Yeah,
he's coming in tomorrow because he's got to teach at Marquette.
And watch, then they'll close school.
Yeah,
he's
unbelievable. I said, Commissioner, you can cancel the class. He says, we're having the class. What a surprise.
A letter grade gets dropped one letter if you don't come, right?
Guys, I got to grab Mark for his next thing.
Okay, everybody, thank you very much.
That's Brewers owner Mark Antanasio. When we return, you hear from the National League MVP Christian Yelich. This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan, Hot Stove Weekly. This is the best of Brewers on Deck. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, with you until 7 o'clock, bringing you some of the best audio heard at Brewers on Deck a week ago. And the man celebrated his 2018 National League MVP the night before the event, flew in, got into Mitchell Field about 4:30 a.m. Christian Yelich here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Christian, what's the last 48 hours been like?
Very busy, but a lot of fun at the same time. Just enjoying the experience and everything that comes with it. And obviously, in New York yesterday and got in here early this morning, or I guess late last night, however you look at it, and excited to be here for sure.
How much of a whirlwind has this offseason been for you?
Yeah, it's been a lot, obviously, just with everything that comes with the award and all that stuff, plus all the California Strong stuff on top of that, and just taking it all in stride and learning on the fly. It's been all good things, and it's been busy, obviously, but handling it as best we can, and excited to get back to work here in a couple weeks.
Christian, is there any limit to it? Like, is it something that you feel like you have to be conscious of not doing too much and not being just kind of burned out by the time you get to spring?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I still wanted to make sure that I could get my work in and prepare the way that I've always done going into a season, because I think that's important. I think being a baseball player is what is the most important first and foremost, and then obviously you have these other obligations that come with everything, and you just need to be able to balance it and take it in stride, but at the same time be mindful of your time and prioritize things and what's going to be most beneficial.
Have you done everything, or have you had to make any sacrifices?
I've done most. I've done things that I could do, most things, but obviously there's some things that you have to turn down or can't do because you still have to prepare, you still have to work out, you still have to do all the baseball stuff that you need to be ready for spring training that's coming up here quickly. And I feel fine. I feel like we're in a good spot and excited to get underway.
As a young player, when you started to do the California Strong, did you kind of have a realization of how big your platform, truly was and truly could be to help others?
Not at first. I think I've touched on this before, but at the beginning, we just wanted to help. We didn't know how or what we were going to do, just that people needed help, and we wanted to give that to them. And I think it evolved over time into what it is now as far as California Strong, how big it's become, and how much support that's been given to the cause. And it's really cool to see. It really is. Just the support, not only from the local community, but nationwide. And, it's been able to help a lot of people's lives. It really has. And we definitely appreciate all the support. And it's been cool just to see the family's reactions when you can help them out. They go from not having anything to being able to get back on their feet for at least a little while.
Christian, you stood in your speech last night. You've asked yourself, how did I get here? You went back to that flight last year, and then obviously a year later back on Air Athanasio again.
It's been a wild ride. It's been a crazy 12 months. Like I said, basically all this is happening exactly a year apart. And if you told me everything that would have happened in those next 12 months, I definitely wouldn't have believed you. Like you said, I touched on it last night. You're on this flight with Brewers royalty. You kind of feel out of place at the time where, 2 days prior you're in a different organization, and now you've got all these new teammates. You're on this plane with all these legends. And fast forward 12 months later, we were doing the same thing in the same sense, I guess, last night, but a little bit different stop along the way. But it's been really cool. It definitely makes you grateful for all the experiences.
What have you learned about yourself as a person and a player these last 12 months?
I still feel the same. I really don't feel any different than I did a year ago. It's just life's changed a little bit, obviously. But taking it all in stride and just learning along the way. And it's been a blast. It's been a lot of fun. And I think I'm just really excited to get back to playing baseball and picking up where we left off with the team and seeing if we can take that next step.
How do you build on it, Christian? I mean, for you personally and as a team, what you guys did last year?
Yeah, I mean, we were close. I mean, we got really close to what we wanted to accomplish as a team, and I think people probably have had some time to sit back and reflect on the season and those feelings, and you want those feelings again. You want to see the energy in the stadium, the city, the way we felt down the stretch and in the playoffs, and you want to get back there and get over that hurdle, get into the World Series, and hopefully bring one here to Milwaukee. I think we'll talk about that more as spring training gets underway and you start to define your team goals a little bit and the approach you want to take throughout the season. But I think that hunger and that drive should be there for everyone. It's not a great feeling to be sitting there after a Game 7 loss, having been so close. I think that can really drive us as a team.
Do you think it's going to be a little harder? Maybe there's a little more of a target on the team?
No, because I feel like the expectations you have personally as a player and as a team are always going to exceed those that from the outside, no matter how lofty those are. I think we understand we're capable of the talent we have in that room. It's a long season, and things have to go right, health-wise and just performance-wise. But I think we know we're capable of it. We've got a great group in there. We've got some experience. A lot of guys got their feet wet in some really big situations, and you just got to build off of it. That's the thing, is you can't take any steps back. You have to continue to grow as individual players and as a team. And I think we're all going to do that, and we're excited for the upcoming year.
Christian, how do you turn the page from one season to the next? As great as last year was last year. How do you get into the mindset for 2019?
You just do it like you always have. I think, like you said, last year's last year. It has no bearing on this year, good or bad, no matter what happened. As a team, individually, it doesn't matter anymore. It's all about this upcoming year, what we can do in 2019. And that drives you. That's what keeps you working hard and focused. It's because nothing's guaranteed. You have to earn everything, and that's what we're going to do.
Talk about Yasmani, the addition of him. What does he bring to the team?
Yeah, he's a great player. You know, he's been one of the best catchers in baseball here for the last few years. I've actually known him for a really long time. He was one of my hosts on a recruiting trip to Miami back in the day. So me and Yasmani go way back, and he's a great guy and definitely excited to have him part of the team.
Christian, did you have a cool moment for yourself last night? Like, what will you remember? Any one player, person, luminary?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many great players and baseball legends there. Obviously, Mariano being there was pretty cool. He's a great guy. David Wright gave a pretty awesome speech. And just being a part of the whole thing, taking in the whole event of where, you know, like you said a year ago, you're getting traded and now you're giving this speech, accepting this MVP award in front of all the baseball writers and baseball fans there. And it was really cool. It's something that I'll remember for a really long time. I was just really trying to enjoy the moment as much as I could, take it all in, because, you know, like I've said many times, you never really know how many chances you're going to get to do that.
Christian, you had mentioned that this offseason was very different for you, and you had opportunities that you haven't had in the past. Is there maybe one that stands out that you're like, a year ago, I probably wouldn't have been able to do this, but now I have?
I think just the people that you get to meet along the way. And I think a lot of that happened to be with the California Strong and the softball game that they put on, and just like the interaction you got to have. But I don't know. It's been great. Obviously, life's changed, like I said, and you have some cool experiences. I think just the people that you've gotten to meet along the way, and the experiences we get to share with friends and family has been the coolest part.
Last year, you probably felt like a stranger here, and I know Milwaukee will never be Miami, obviously. But this year for Brewers on Deck, do you feel like this is becoming a home? You
know, yeah,
not
definitely.
Just in the league, but in the community?
Yeah, I think last year you kind of have the new school feeling, or the new kid at school, where you're trying to meet all your new friends and get familiar with a new organization, and life was happening pretty fast at the time, where just a little bit of a whirlwind. But now obviously most of the guys on the team and the city and what to expect going into the next year, and it's really exciting. It's great to be back and see all the guys again, and just feel the excitement building for the upcoming season. I think not only are we excited as a team, but you can feel the excitement from the fans and the city as well.
David said that he was going to tell you to take a mental break between now and spring training. What do you do to get that mental break?
Yeah, I mean, I'll have enough time just to really bear down on working out and getting all this baseball stuff underway again, like hitting, throwing, just preparing for spring training like you always have. I mean, I've got about 3 good weeks to do that, so I don't really see it being a problem. But, yeah, as far as, like, the travel and making the rounds and all that, it's pretty much done now. And it's back to just focusing on baseball. Not that I wasn't before, but now that's really just the sole focus, and all the time and energy is going to be put into that.
He said maybe they'll ask you to take it easy, have a light schedule in spring training, ease into games a little bit. Is that something you're open to, or are you going to fight them to play a bunch?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked about that, but it's not like I don't really see it being too much of a problem, or just being on a regular spring training schedule. My body feels fine. I feel great. I feel like I always do this time of the year heading into spring training. So, like I said, I'm sure it's something we'll talk about as spring training gets closer, it gets underway, but I don't foresee any problems or anything out of the ordinary taking place. It's kind of business as usual, and we're just getting ready for another season.
As fun as all this stuff was, you're kind of excited just to get back to
the
baseball?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, yeah. I think, like I said, you're a baseball player first, so that's what you want to do. There's been great experiences. It's been a learning experience for sure, and taken into stride, and just learn on the fly for a lot of this stuff, but I think at the end of the day, you're just ready for baseball to start again and just get back to that. That's what you're comfortable with. It's what you've been doing your entire life. So I'm excited, and once February 18th it is, I believe, gets underway, I think everybody will be relieved and excited.
Have you talked to Moustakas at all about his free agency?
I haven't talked to Moose about free agency really. I see Moose all the time as far as workouts with Bronny, Saladino, all those guys. We see each other pretty regularly, but I left it up to Moose. I told him, I'm here if he needs anything or wants to talk about it, but that's something that him and his family have to decide, and hopefully it all works out for him.
Just one more, guys.
Can we expect to see Baker in Arizona? That you're going to come watch a couple games with you?
There's a good chance. Yeah, we'll see. Obviously, schedule permitting. He had a great season, obviously. It's well documented that we're pretty good friends, and yeah, I'm sure he'd like to come out and check it out. I'm sure the guys would be excited as well. So we'll see if we can make that happen. So you'll have to stay tuned.
That's Christian Yelich here on the Best of Brewers on Deck Hot Stove Weekly. I'm Bill Schmidt, baby Tausch. Next, take a look at the offense with Ryan Braun, Travis Shaw. Coming at you next on Hot Stove Weekly.
14 years and running. The best Brewers coverage on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hot Stove Weekly here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Bill Schmid, Baby Tausch, with you till 7 o'clock. Here, bringing you the best of Hot Stove Weekly sound gathered as the Brewers 40-man roster gathered to celebrate the 2019 season with Brewers fans at the Wisconsin Center downtown about a week and a half ago. Ryan Braun, one of focal points and franchise players for the last decade and a half, making some tweaks to his mechanics. Let's hear from number 8 right now. This is the best of Brewers on deck.
Hello.
Hello.
To see the fans the first time it's been sold out, what is that like for you? It's probably the longest time you've been
here. It's cool. You know, I think whenever guys come here who have been with other teams or organizations, they are asking, is this normal? Is this something you guys see? And it's always an enthusiastic crowd out there, but what we're seeing this year is it's unique. And I think it's a testament to the success we've had on the field and just the excitement surrounding Brewers baseball. But the crowd is definitely fired up. And for all of us as players, the support is it's really special and very meaningful.
Is it a different feel for you guys, too, this time around because of what you guys did last year?
I mean, a little bit. You know, it's fun for us to get back together and kind of reminisce about what a special season it was. But at the same time, what we accomplished last year doesn't do us any good going into this year. So, you know, you start over, you start back from the beginning, and you try to create something special again because we all thoroughly enjoyed, obviously, the deep run in the postseason last year.
You were shocked to wake up and find out that Yasmani Grandal was a
teammate? No, I mean, I knew it was close for a while. I knew it was definitely a possibility. So you never know that it's actually going to happen. But obviously, he makes us significantly better. You know, he's right there with any catcher in baseball as far as being one of the best catchers in the game on both sides of the ball. So he obviously makes us significantly better. So it's an exciting move, I think, for all of us.
When you won the MVP, your offseason was understandably crazy. Christian's gone through the same thing now. It's still kind of going on for him. Have you shared anything, any advice with him about how to handle things or just what have you seen in how Christian's handled this offseason with all the obligations and everything that come with the MVP?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're together almost every day, so we talk through a lot of things, and I think obviously with the success that he's had, with the success that we had as a team, there's so many unique opportunities that come about, and the challenge just becomes trying to figure out when to say no, and making sure that you're able to make getting your workouts in and doing your baseball stuff and preparing for the season your top priority, while still obviously getting to experience some of these unique things that come along with the success that he's had. So, you know, I think of him like a little brother. We're literally together all the time, so it's fun for me just to have an opportunity to help mentor him, talk to him about some of the things he's experiencing. But he obviously has, you know, an incredible head on his shoulders and incredible support system of family and friends that I think he's handled everything as well as anybody possibly could.
Ryan, when you think back to 2012 coming off of the NLCS, was it a different challenge for the team when you got that close to the World Series? Was that a different year?
I mean, it was different that we lost Prince. You know, I think when you lose people that are that good, I think it changes everything. But obviously, you know, having success previously is something I think that can benefit you in a lot of ways because you recognize how much fun that is for everybody. It's an invaluable experience to have the opportunity to play those meaningful games down the stretch. But the challenge does start over, and obviously it's incredibly difficult to accomplish what we did last year. You know, it goes back to we all talk about the importance and significance of every game, but literally if we had lost one more game, we don't get the opportunity to play game 163. We don't get the chance to have home field advantage to get as far as we did. So you always, I think, keep perspective on how difficult that challenge is and recognize that it starts over and everybody has to try to be the best versions of themselves to get an opportunity to get back to doing what we did last year.
But as you point out, it is different in that you didn't lose that huge piece like you did that. It give you hope that maybe you'll be able to. I mean, the goal is to get back to where you were, right, and go a little further.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, in 12, we didn't have the same expectation that we had in 11. I think this year we probably have higher expectations than we had going into last year. And I think that part of it is definitely different, and it's a good thing. You want to be in a place as an organization where the expectation is to compete to get back to the postseason.
Did last year's postseason run give you a new perspective on baseball and the way you approach the game?
It was just so much fun, you know. I think when you haven't been to the postseason in a while, you almost forget how enjoyable those games are. Just the adrenaline, the emotion, the enthusiasm of the crowds, both at home and on the road, is so unique. It's not something that you really ever experience in regular season baseball. So it was just fun, you know. It's probably the most I'd enjoyed baseball since the last time we were in the postseason. And I think that, you know, all the rest of the guys on the team would have said the same thing. It's just, you know, everything is, there's more adrenaline, there's more emotion, there's more enthusiasm, there's more nerves, there's more anxiety, and I think all of those feelings are just fun as an athlete and a competitor.
The rest of the division didn't do you guys any favors going into the season, because it's gotten a lot tougher for you.
Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, it's, you know, the best division in baseball, because you actually have all the teams that are trying to win. It's probably the only division in baseball where all the teams are actually trying to win, so we have our hands full for sure. I think, you know, you look around and everybody got better. You know, we expect it to be challenging, and I think it's something that we're looking forward to, obviously, because, you know, you got to come with it every day if you want to put yourself in a position to have the success that we had last year.
I was going to say, physically, where are we at this particular point in time?
I feel good. Obviously, it's been a bit of a crazy offseason, just getting home later than usual with the fires being displaced for a while. So a little bit chaotic, but all things considered, I'm in a really good place physically right now.
Kind of on that same note, entering, I think, season 13, do you feel like you're at the top of the hill? Or no, are you guys a few more years before you get to that top of the hill?
I don't know. I mean, I think I just try to stay present. You know, I think I always try to stay present and stay focused on the task at hand. You know, I'm always trying to get better. I think I'm never satisfied with where I'm at, and also just not accepting the fact that I know that I'm older, but that doesn't mean that I can't get better. So I've been working on some things this offseason with my swing and just doing things that I've actually never done in an offseason before. So the goal is just always to get better and to just always, I think, try to stay present, not look too far ahead or worry about what might come in the future.
You talked about the fires and your involvement in California Strong. What was that like for you, and did anything surprise you out of your experience with it?
I mean, the whole thing was incredible. The support that we received is remarkable. Aside from probably burying my wife and the birth of my kids, the coolest thing I've ever been a part of. Just far exceeds anything that I could ever accomplish as a baseball player. And obviously being able to hand out checks for some of the money that we've raised. The week of February 4th, we're going to give out over $1 million. So the fact that we've been able to accomplish what we have, and the support we receive from other athletes, celebrities, musicians, actors, actresses, people in the community, businesses, is incredible. So really a special experience for all of us. A lot of work, you know, aside from parenting and doing my baseball stuff, it was a full-time job for me. So it was very rewarding and fulfilling to see the success that we've had, and then ultimately to be able to give that money that we've raised directly to the people who are in need.
What are the things you mentioned that you are doing differently this offseason, and why did you decide to take this approach now?
I think when you look at, like, the analytics side, of baseball, there's so much information out there now. So if I look at my batted ball profile last year, my exit velocity, line drive rate, hard hit percentage were as high as they've ever been. But my OPS was 790 or whatever it was, which is just not good enough. So I think that it tells me that I'm still hitting the ball as hard as ever, but if I make some subtle adjustments, hopefully some of those low line drives can turn into fly ball home runs. So, you know, there's so much information out there with TrackMan and Rhapsody and all of that stuff. So this is actually the first offseason I've ever tried to make some adjustments to my swing. I think usually I just try to do enough baseball stuff so that when I get to spring training, I'm ready to play baseball. But this year I've tried to make some adjustments, and you're able to see whether things are working in real time because of the technology that we now have. So based on where my swing was at the beginning of the offseason, I've definitely made some productive adjustments, at least according to all of those things. So it'll be interesting to get back out on the field and see how those things play out.
Is it going to be something we see with the bear? Are we going to see it?
Hopefully you see it in the end results and the numbers are better.
Is it going to look different?
Not really. I mean, hopefully a little bit. I think to people that really understand baseball, it probably will. Just it's more like bat path related than anything else. So it's just a matter of trying to stay through the ball a little bit better. Just get back to doing some of the things that I think I did better a few years ago than I have over the last couple years. So it's always difficult to implement those things in a game anyways, but I think it'll look subtly different, but nothing drastic.
Does it mean you're going to see more action then in the spring training? compared to recent years?
I hope not, man. I hope not. I definitely hope not. Highly doubt that.
I know you talked last year about, you know, with your line drives being up, fly balls being down, just kind of being unlucky. So is this to, I know luck's obviously all chance, but is this to try to improve your chances, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take luck out of the equation, you hit more balls over the fence. So if I'm able to do that, then luck becomes less of a factor. But, you know, obviously we talked about it at length, I think, last year, but all the numbers suggested that based on my batted ball profile, I was unlucky. But also that I'm still hitting the ball really hard and doing a lot of things well. So I think in taking in all that information and trying to make some of these subtle adjustments, I hope that it's something that helps me over the course of the season.
You look shocked about Miller Park not being Miller Park.
Yeah, that is shocking. To me, it'll always be Miller Park, I think. I think there's something nostalgic about it. I know, but it's a good thing for the team. It's a good thing for the organization in the long run, and I think everybody will come around to why it makes a lot of sense for the organization, and also I think they're going to do a lot to help in the city as well. So long term, it'll be a good thing, but yeah, I mean, it's Miller Park. It'll always be Miller Park.
Is analytics something you've always paid attention to throughout your career, or is it more in the latter stages you started paying more attention to it?
Still more in the latter stages. You know, I think there's so much information out there that it's difficult sometimes, I think, to look through and sift through that information to figure out what's relevant, what's not relevant, and what to apply to your game specifically. And also there's just so much more information now than there was, you know, 10 or 12 years ago when I got started. So because the information's out there, I think it makes sense for all of us to explore it to some extent. But especially if you don't have the success that you want to have, I think it's worth exploring some of the data and figuring out whether there's adjustments that could be made to help you, you know, be more successful. Cool. Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Welcome back. Thanks for bringing the cold water along. How's your offseason been?
It's good. Yeah. In Florida, warm. Feel healthy, ready to go. So, looking forward to it.
At what point do you start looking at how last season ended and say, okay, it's time to, how do we take that next step?
I mean, I took a few weeks off. Obviously, you watched the World Series and we were so close, one game away, but at the same time, we accomplished a lot of things last year, and with everybody we have coming back, there's no reason to think we can't get back there and hopefully get over that hump this time. Obviously, you have to get there first. It's a long season before that, but I think everybody has the same goal this year, and that's to get one game further than we got last year, which is to get the World Series, and then anything that happens, we
win. How surprised were you when you turned on MLB Network and saw that David signed Yasmani?
That was a little shocking. I mean, it kind of came out of nowhere, but that's kind of David's MO. He kind of surprises people at the last second, and it's kind of a good deal. It's a good deal for us. He makes us better. It's a one-year commitment, so I think it's kind of low risk for the organization, too. But Yasmani's a really good player. I mean, he's going to help us offensively. His defensive stuff I saw is really good for catching. And, he had a good year in L.A., and he's been to back-to-back World Series, so his experiences with doing that is going to help us, too.
Is there a different feel this year coming in here because of what the season was last year?
No, I mean, a little bit. I mean, there's a little bit more expectations this year than there were last year, and this is kind of the window we're in right now. We've got a nice little window right here where everybody's under control, and we can kind of go for it here these next couple years, and that's what everybody's shooting for.
You look around the division, everyone else seems to have gotten better too. It's going to be this tough last year. It's going to be tough this time.
Yeah, the Central's going to be really good. St. Louis is going to be good. Cincinnati's trying to get better. Pittsburgh's rotation is always going to be good, so you always have to respect them. And the Cubs are the Cubs. So there's no slouch in the division anymore. There's nobody you're going to roll into in a three-game set and expect to sweep this year. So it's going to be we're going to kind of beat up on each other, and hopefully we can come out on top of it.
You were asked to play several positions last year. Are you coming to camp prepared to do that again this year?
I have not heard any kind of concrete thing on where I'm going to play. So what you guys know is what I know. So we'll see what happens. As of right now, I guess I'm playing third. So that's kind of my preferred spot. But we'll see what happens.
I was going to ask David. is that tough, though? Or is that actually a challenge? Did you enjoy that challenge?
Yeah, it was kind of fun to see if I could do it. And I feel like I did a decent job. And this offseason, I mean, there's obviously different training things that I would do versus if I was playing second versus playing third. But right now I'm just preparing to play third. And if something changes, then we'll make an adjustment.
What is that like going into spring training not necessarily knowing that you might be asked to do something different?
Well, at least like now I kind of have a background at second base if I have to play there, and last year was literally on the fly, so there's at least a little bit more of a foundation there this year, and a little bit more familiarity with that position, and so either way, wherever I'm at, I think I'll be okay.
Travis, this time last year, a lot of the talk was about Lorenzo and Christian being here, and then you hear that Yasmani gets signed here. What is kind of David and this front office saying to you guys that they're, you know, as far as willing to commit to these types of
players? Wow.
I mean, we're there. I mean, there's there's no reason to think we can't get further. I mean, the front office realizes it, and they've made the acquisitions the last 2 years to better us, to put us in a position to be the best team in the National League. And we were one game short of being that last year. I mean, we had the most wins in the regular season, so they're pushing all the right buttons, and we just got to continue to play well, stay healthy, and it's a long season, but I think we'll be in a good spot.
Travis, could you just give us a few words about Christian Yelich and the MVP season he had and what that did for the lift of the team?
I think if you took his numbers or asked anybody here at the All-Star break if they thought he was going to win the MVP, I don't think any person would say that. So his second half was literally like out of this world. I've never seen anything like it. I've played with Mookie Betts, and what Yelich did was even beyond that. I mean, Mookie's a special player, but Christian's last 2.5 months of the season were something I've never witnessed, and I think people need to be careful, like, expecting that to happen over a full season, because realistically that's going to be hard to do. But he won the MVP, he deserved to win the MVP, and he's obviously a huge key piece for us this year moving forward, but what he did last year was truly special.
Are the fans going to expect too much from the Brewers in 2019?
No, I mean, they're not going to expect any more than what we expect. I mean, we expect to get the World Series, and we expect to be exactly where we were last year. So their expectations are going to be our expectations.
You just heard there from Brewers third baseman or second baseman Travis Shaw as he wrapped up the latter part of 2018, primarily playing over at second base. I'm Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch with you, Hot Stove Weekly. This is the best of Brewers on deck when we return. A conversation Tim Allen and myself had with Corey Spangenberg, newly acquired. It's coming up on the best of Brewers on deck, Hot Stove Weekly, Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yelich, Kane, Braun, and more. We're talking Brewers baseball. It's Hot Stove Weekly on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Tim and Taos, Brewers on deck with new Brewer Corey Spangenberg. Corey, how are you, man? Welcome to Milwaukee.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Okay. Now, let's start off with you coming in here. You know what the Brewers did last year. They talk to you about a certain role, a specific role you're going to have?
You know, I think every year you want to be a starter. Second base is open. I mean, there's going to be competition. So I think everyone comes into the year thinking or hoping they're going to be a starter. And, you know, I have that mentality because I want to play every day. I think everyone wants to play every day. But at the same time, I think I give the Brewers the luxury of being able to play multiple positions, and I'm comfortable playing multiple positions.
Good answer, because Billy and I are all about you want to come in wanting to be the starter. I mean, anybody that comes in and says, well, I'll play a role, utility man is good for me. Yeah, probably not. What do you think of this team here?
I mean, they're a fun and exciting team. Just watching them on TV, I mean, everyone saw they were one game away from the World Series, but, you know, playing against them and then watching them later in the year, they have fun. I feel like they're a bunch of blue-collar players, which I feel I'm that type of player, so I think I'm going to fit in well here.
Well, you're going to fit in well with the city, man, because it's a blue-collar city, as you can tell. I mean, people are standing outside, and it's, what, 25 below zero outside, and we're waiting for like a foot and a half of snow. You got a jacket, you got prepped up here. I know we're going to be in Arizona for a month and a half, but there's still going to be some snow on the ground when y'all get back here in March. Yeah. Let me tell you that.
No, I'm used to the snow from Northeast Pennsylvania, so
okay, good.
I know a thing or two about the snow. I do love this town. I do think it's a blue-collar town, and you know, that's kind of the way I was born and raised, mm-hmm. and you know, I think I'm going to really enjoy it.
All right, doing post-game show, we're in the news breaking business. Just kidding. We break down the game. We might get on you a little bit. It's nothing personal. You know how it goes.
Hey, break you gotta down. Get on. Not doing well, you got to get on me.
Okay.
That's how it goes.
Very good. So tell our audience something that we need to know about Corey Spangenberg.
think, like I said before, I'm a blue-collar player. I'm always going to play hard, always going to run balls out. You know, that's just how I was raised to play the game. That's how I play.
Now, you had our boy Pat Murphy come over here while you were meeting the entire media mafia over here. You go, love you, Spangy. Love you, Spangy. That guy's crazy.
He is.
He's wild.
But he was my first pro ball coach back in Eugene, Oregon.
Is that right?
Yeah, so we go way back. You know, I've always stayed in touch with him. You know, when he was with the Padres organization, he'd take me and a couple other guys out to dinner every spring. So we have a great relationship. You know, just to be able to pick his baseball IQ is great, but I think his mentality with life and with failure is even better. So he's a great guy to have in your corner.
You know, just real quick, have you been out to the event yet to mingle with the fans?
Yeah, they're great. We had breakfast with them this morning, then I was up there playing games. You could tell they're a passionate fan base. They care a lot about their Brewers and their other sports teams, the Bucks and Green Bay had it down here, but the Bucks are having a good year. So it'll be exciting to play. You know, just to have a fan base that's really invested in their team is going to be great.
Okay, so Billy and I are headed to Vegas here in a week for the Super Bowl. First of all, Rams or Pats?
Can't bet against Tom Brady. Can't do it. You okay, think he's bad every year, then all of a sudden Tom Brady comes in playoff time, yep. And he's the best.
So, okay. Then secondly, I'm a little upset about the Brewers over and under. It needs to be higher. It definitely does, so I think it's easy money. Do we bet you guys, now this is Billy and I, not you, just so that if
everybody knows, it's
the
just
league,
us.
The league money. Is listening, we understand. So do we go to win the National League, or do we slide all the chips in and say, go win the whole thing?
I mean, if your mentality is not going to win the whole thing, then don't even bother showing up.
No, you're going to love this guy.
I already do, man. Corey, thanks a lot, man. We'll be in touch. See you in Arizona.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
That was Corey Spangenberg with myself, Bill Schmidt, Baby Tausch, and Tim Allen, the franchise at Brewers on Deck. This has been the best of Brewers on Deck on Hot Stove Weekly. Thanks for joining us next week again at 6 Monday night. Tim Allen and myself talking Brewers baseball as we are inside a week away then. From pitchers and catchers reporting to the new Brewers Fields of Phoenix. Once again, thanks for listening to the Hot Stove Weekly and the best of Brewers on Deck. And stay tuned. You're on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.